Here we go, guys. Three, and lots of energy, high energy. Three, and a two, and a one, two. How do I work this? Three. Direct from the Los Angeles Underground, it's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex.
It's like honey in your ear hole.
That, I don't know about you guys, but I was locking eyes with Justine when she said that, and no, I felt that.
It's a lot.
I felt that.
A lot of guys like that.
I felt that.
There's a lot of feeling there.
I love guys who don't break eye contact with me ever.
Oh, it just...
What?
Just ever, just always staring.
Isn't that so awkward when there's people who just don't know how to break eye contact, even if it's just for a split second?
It's a dominance thing.
I knew there was a guy today pulled out of a gas station and made me miss the light. He made me miss it. The signal was just beyond. He knew what he did, and he went across all the way across to the left turn lane, and I locked eyes the whole, but he would not turn to his right. I kid you not, guys. He started folding clothes that he had in his passenger side.
Are you
not
kidding
to look
me?
At me? He had like a basketball jersey and some shorts, and he was just grooving to the music, but he would not turn to his right. He could feel my laser beams.
I'm Mad Dog people. Like, if I'm walking through the parking lot and they like are speeding really quickly, I will go and I will stare at them the whole time.
Yeah, 14
until
buddy.
They stop. Up.
But that's different. There's a reason you're glaring at someone, but when someone's just when you're
yeah,
just
it's
talking
a dominance
someone,
thing,
and someone just seems like a little too interested in what you're
again,
saying.
Again, it's a dominance thing.
Assert
Jake.
Your dominance.
Thank you. You have to establish that you're in command of the conversation.
It's an alpha dog.
Exactly.
Thing, yeah. No.
Yeah.
Dog trainers know all about.
Stop it! Don't look at me like that.
Some people are alphas.
I don't like
some
it
people
that way.
Are betas. It's okay, beta.
Jesus. Oh, Mario,
they're beautiful fish.
I wanted to let you know that Patrick might shave his beard too.
Oh, by the way,
it's fucking ridiculous. We're driving here, and I literally turned to Justine. I think I'm going to shave my beard. And then we show up, and Jake has no beard.
Yeah,
and he beat you to it.
Jake has no beard,
so I have to keep mine. This is the only way he'll be able to tell us apart.
I just noticed Jake's face has no discernible
chin?
Shape without the beard.
I know.
That's strange.
I have no chin.
So weird.
See, that's the opposite. I have a chin.
It's just a strange oval shape.
Sandy, how much less do you like Jake without facial hair?
0%.
Really?
Yeah.
You
don't
great.
Like me at
You're
all?
You're such a good
that?
Liar.
Less. He said less. 0% less.
Yeah.
But you look very much like SpongeBob from when he gets all...
His holes
business
removed?
...business and normal, and he's like, hi, how are you?
Chicks, I don't know if I like that.
Business and normal. Yeah. Today in studio, we have to my right, John Sandy. Good evening, John.
Howdy.
Oh, we're supposed to never say the time. So
why is it?
That's what people say.
Because we don't know when people are listening.
We
don't want to alienate
they
them.
They don't need to know.
We don't want somebody to be listening at 6 o'clock in the morning and be like, it's not nighttime. Why are they saying
yeah,
this?
Yeah, why are they
Remember,
saying
we have,
that?
We're not
so
the news.
This is
our
so stupid. I hate this show.
Are dumb, and we don't want to confuse them.
And remember, we have friends from foreign lands who listen. We have friends
if you're in Manchester.
Our friend in Manchester.
You know what?
Listen,
we need to put the timestamp of when we started in the description so they can watch it at the same time. To get that immersion. To get that immersion.
Stardate.
We have, my brother and I were just talking about how stardates make no sense and it's perfect.
Starlog 17,
25.2.
Engage.
Star. Make it so.
To John's right and my far right is our
Beardless
friend,
Jake.
Beardless Jake, the Beardless Wonder.
Yep.
How you doing, Jake?
I'm cold.
You look good, man.
My face is cold.
Oh, yeah, that good. Does. Yeah.
You look young. That's what's weird.
I know. I look like I'm 15 now.
Yeah. That's funny. Sandy's giggling.
Pass for 17.
Like, yeah.
You're like jailbait right now.
I am jailbait.
No, not to her. To her.
I am jailbait. Ladies.
That's going to figure prominently into one of the movies tonight on the Digital Movie Club. What? It does.
I know.
I thought he was joking.
It was
look at her and tell me she's not 14.
Sandy is here. Sandy.
No, it's worse than that.
Sandy's kind of Sandy is basically... Martin Landau in the first season of Mission Impossible.
Huh?
Special guest star, but on every episode.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Pretty much.
So it kind of loses its meaning after like...
Oh, it's like when you see Watch MASH and it says guest starring Rita O'Reilly.
No, he's not guest starring.
Yeah,
it shows also up. Starring.
No, it's in the credits.
And
then in his last season before he leaves...
Oh, the last season.
It says guest starring.
I'm sure that had to do with the contract that he signed. A lot of times it has to do with money. It's kind of like, pay me this much more, or I'm a featured. They even argue sometimes over and. They have all the credits, and then it's and.
I want to be the and credit. Yeah. I always want to be that guy. Justine is here to my left. Justine.
Howdy.
To her right, my left, is the great Patrick.
Hi.
How you doing, Patrick?
Bueno.
Are you going to shave the beard? What's up?
No, no. Jake has determined that I'm not going to shave
it. Not now.
If like Jake wasn't here for this day, saw each other, you guys would have had no beard.
I would have been pissed.
You would have been mad. And then people would still not recognize us. Now it's a little bit easier I don't have the beard.
Yeah,
he has the beard.
And now when you guys make out, you don't
but
get
I
stuck
have a
together.
Really,
yeah.
I have a really strong jawline, so I don't know.
Yeah, we won't stick together like Velcro anymore. Yeah. This is good.
It's an important night, but not important enough that I missed the podcast.
People know exactly what time it is.
It is game five.
Now they really know what
game
time it is.
Game five of the National League Division Series.
So what's the score?
Dodgers versus the Nationals, the pesky Nationals who won't go away. Great pitching from those Nationals. According to our friend Hitesh Patel, our man in the field, on the train somewhere between South San Francisco and San Jose.
So he's not in the field.
He is in the field because he's watching the game and he's texting me. End of the second, 3-0 Dodgers after a 2-run home run by Max Muncy in the first, which I heard on the radio, and a solo shot by Kike Hernandez.
Hope they can hold on to that lead because they've choked before.
Mm-hmm. One on, two out.
Bum 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 bum.
Go Dodgers!
Bum 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 bum. Da 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 da.
Sports.
We love them. There are, of course, two Dodger fans in here. John, you're pretty much a Dodgers fan.
I sure am.
You don't follow them closely, but you'll root for them when.
That's right. I root for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And now would be a great time to have a Dodger dog.
That's right. Easternmost in
that
flavor.
That sounds so good right now.
Easternmost in quality, Westernmost in flavor.
All Dodger dogs can be purchased at your local A&PM.
That's right. John, do you know what the difference between a Dodger dog is and a hot dog at Angel Stadium?
About 5 inches.
Hey! Hello. I was just going to say you can get Dodger dogs in October. Hey, We're real loose today, guys. Real loose.
A little bit too loose.
John.
Loosey-goosey.
Flapping in the wind.
It's, of course, Digital Movie Club, but we will keep you posted on the Dodger game that will be done by the time you hear this. But it's, you know, more.
I love how the whole opening was like, we don't want people to know what time it is. Now they know what day, what hour, minute it is. we don't want to alienate anybody.
Top of the
go
fifth.
Dodgers.
Top of the fifth.
The big news in entertainment circles, John, is, of course, the release of the film.
Joker.
The Joker.
Yes.
We talked about the trailer. We've talked about the lead up to this. I, unfortunately, have not been able to get enough time to go see a movie. So, John, you were able to see The Joker.
I did.
And this is interesting because you're a huge Batman fan.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I, of course, are waiting for our Cesar Romero origin story. But in the interim...
How did he get his mustache?
Yeah, how did he...
Who is the Joker's mustache and how did it come to be?
What did you think of this iteration of the Joker?
Well, I don't want to say too much because nobody here has seen it.
Thank you, John. That's very respectful.
Very sweet.
Did you like it?
But I will say it is very depressing.
Oh, I love it already.
Not just dark, but depressing.
It's a raging bull.
Well, when I left the theater, I said this is kind of like Taxi Driver meets Death Wish.
Someone told me it has a very Scorsese kind of feel.
I love Death Wish.
Did you see it?
Death Wish?
Look at your eyes.
Yeah, I watched.
Well, she loves Clint Eastwood.
I watched, I thought Death Wish was Bronson.
Bronson.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What did I say?
Clint Eastwood.
I was like, wait, I watched.
Yeah.
They're interchangeable for her.
I saw one and two.
You should stop because the next one he's got like a tank and it's like the whole neighborhood's following him and it's just nuts.
Those are Brent's favorites, I think. Three and four.
I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Christ.
I'm not liking the little mustache. It's a little cheesy to me.
Thin. And you know, that's where it starts. And
it just sticks.
And even critics said, could he just shave that thing off? It looks like walked into something, you know.
It's like a kid put a mustache and just went line.
I think he really liked it, you know.
I hate it.
Because from Death Wish on, I think he's always got that little mustache.
That little pencil mustache.
And now, but I think he's done taking off his shirt because he's pretty old in these.
What you need to see is the movie I gave you about a year ago called Hard Times.
You haven't watched it yet?
No. Well, I still have the show one, too, where he's the camera guy.
But you will love the movie Hard Times because he plays a bare-knuckle boxer during the Depression.
Yes,
He doesn't have the mustache.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's shirtless.
And it's a very good movie. It's Walter Hill, who did 48 Hours
and
Streets of Fire. It's a good movie. Some people think it's his best movie. I've heard people say it's
Streets
his best
of Fire
movie.
You reference right there.
I know it was a flop, but I always liked it.
I Can Dream About You.
Yeah.
Is that from Streets of Fire?
I don't know.
How did I know that?
Diane Lane.
How did I pull?
Why did I see Streets of Fire? Diane Lane.
Same reason we saw Outsiders.
She's still beautiful. She's playing like she's playing Superman's mom, and she's still beautiful.
Yeah.
God, she's like an old lady. She's still beautiful.
Smilf.
Christ Almighty. Anyway, you will dig it. When you see Hard Times, you will dig it. I can.
Oh, I was like, wait.
And he doesn't have the mustache.
What's that?
I'll dig it.
Might be the last movie where he doesn't have the mustache.
Superman. Yeah.
John.
So we went off the rails.
Oh. So you liked Joker.
Well,
this is what our shout out to Hit Issue, our man in the field, our Dodger reporter in the field, told me. He said it's not entertaining in a way that a movie, he said it's worth seeing, but he would probably never see it again.
In a way, it's kind of like Raging Bull, ironically, since we're going to be doing Raging Bull. It's like Raging Bull or Clockwork Orange. We go, that was well made. Gripping, riveting, but I don't know that I ever need to sit through it again. This is not an enjoyable experience.
It's not a popcorn movie.
So it's worth seeing. It is well made. Joaquin Phoenix is always great.
He's a good actor.
But this is a different kind of take, and I still don't know what to make of it after seeing it. It's not a good time, and not something I would rush right out to see again. But it is well made. It's an experience.
As far as superhero movies go, would you say it's good?
It doesn't feel like a superhero movie,
and
I think that's by design. They didn't want this thing to feel like just another superhero origin movie. This feels like a standalone movie. I don't think they have any plans to do a sequel. He does cross paths with a young Bruce Wayne. And his father, Thomas Wayne, and that's interesting. He is in Gotham. You see Arkham Asylum, so it is part of the whole story, but you can tell they're never going to do a follow-up to this. This was meant to be a standalone. Good. I would bet. I mean, all bets are off because it's making so much money. It almost made $100 million the first weekend. I think it made like $95 million the first weekend. But I would imagine Joaquin Phoenix is not in a big hurry to do it again. This was like a standalone one story, but who knows? If this thing makes enough money, they will find a way to do it again.
Sure. They should just do all the villains in a standalone movie.
But I don't know. This thing almost deserves like two ratings. Like, you know, what'd you think of it as an experience? And what'd you think of it as, you know, a piece of art? You know?
Sure. Or, what did you think of it as a villain movie? What did you think of it?
Yeah, I mean, it is well made, but I just don't know. It was such a, leaving the theater, I just thought this was a real major downer.
Okay.
Yeah.
I eventually want, you know, and like.
But it is worth checking out. Just check it out. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's like a documentary or something.
Well, not exactly that. It's tough. Almost, I don't know anybody else who saw it. So I'm kind of afraid to put too much of a spin on it. I might be completely on the opposite end.
What would
of
you
what
rank
people think
it?
Of it? What's that?
What would you rank it?
You know, like maybe like a 7 or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
I'm a big Joaquin Phoenix fan, and he if there is a problem with this movie, he's not the problem, you know.
How was our friend Robert De Niro?
Very good. And you know what's funny is it.
Robert De Niro's in it?
Yeah, and you know what? He's playing like a Johnny Carson type.
He's playing King of Comedy, basically.
He is. Oh. This has definitely got shades of King of Comedy. He's even got the curtains, the red, green, and blue curtains. Yeah.
We should watch King of Comedy.
Yes,
did somebody fuck his wife?
That's an 80s movie, right?
Yep, 81 will be coming up on.
And this is the flip side, because he was the psycho comic in that one.
Yeah.
And it was Jerry Lewis playing the Johnny Carson.
You want to meet my pride and joy?
Yeah.
So nobody fucked his wife?
I love the look on his face.
Spoilers.
Did he ask Joker?
Anyway, yeah, if you're a Scorsese fan, check out The Joker, because the homages are coming fast and furious.
I don't think they cared about us.
No, we do. We're just trying to get through a review here.
You said you give it an 8?
No, a 7.
7.
For The Joker?
We do care
7.
About you.
7.
Yeah, if you're a Scorsese fan, check it out, because there's a definite a lot of tips of the hat to Scorsese.
All right, John. Give it a 7. 8.
No, a 7.
Okay. 9.
I'll be
10.
Very curious what you think and what everybody else thinks. Renee's a bigger Batman fan than I am. I really want to know what he thinks of it, you know?
But seriously, though, I want that Cesar Romero Joker movie.
You know, I finally got to the bottom of that with the mustache. And he just, you know, they just said, yeah, you know, I always wonder if that was a problem because he just refused to shave it. And the producer says, you know, this guy's supposed to be so nuts, it doesn't matter. He's got a mustache on under the makeup. You know, we're not even going to worry about it.
Yeah. You're not going to shave it.
They really wanted him, you know.
Put the surfboard on. Put the surf pants on. And
you know, recently I watched the first Batman. Hadn't seen that in years and years and years. And Nicholson was better than I remembered, you know.
He was a good Joker.
The first time I saw it, I kind of thought he was walking through it. But seeing it after all these years.
No, he's committed.
He did good.
The thing is, I think what I thought at the time was it was so obvious. Because when you think about The Shining or The Last Detail, it's like he's already played the Joker. Yeah.
He's basically playing just Jack Nicholson.
He's playing himself. Yeah.
But it worked.
And then they also ran The Dark Knight a couple nights ago, and I hadn't seen that in about two or three years.
It's really good.
And I think that remains my favorite Joker portrayal. Heath Ledger is
scary
so
as all get out.
Well, he died for it.
What about Mark Hamill?
He did.
Yes.
Mark Hamill does a great voice.
His voice is amazing.
And there are people who think he's the best Joker.
Yes.
You know, when they rate him, they just say hands down.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd been doing it for so long.
He's done it longer than anybody else. Yeah. He's on all the cartoons.
He's on it with that laugh.
Some might say he's had the last laugh.
That's right. What, he's on some of the video games doing the voice, right?
Yes.
And the movies.
Yeah. Troy Baker also does a really good Joker.
I want to know why he didn't do it in the... I wish that Mark Hamill would have done it in the Lego Batman movie. Although Zach Galifianakis did a good job. Yeah. I wish it would have been Mark Hamill in there.
Yeah. So,
maybe it's too scary for the kids.
He might have been too busy doing Star Wars at the time,
I think.
That's about the same time.
That's true.
Or since they had somebody else doing Batman, you know, they just thought, let's just put our own stamp on
it. Yeah. But boy, that's a great Batman. That's still one of my favorite portrayals of Batman, is Lego Batman.
Oh, yeah. Remember when that came out, we said, oddly enough. Yeah.
They really nailed it. When he's looking at just that money shot of him looking at his family.
Yeah.
he's like, there's my family. He's like, yep. Yeah. Like, he's just that whole, you're like, wow, that's so sad.
Because I think we had just seen the first Ben Affleck, and we just thought, you know, oddly enough, this might be the best Batman of the year.
Lego Batman. Lego Batman really nails it. And he's just such a good, like a spoiled rich kid.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Isn't he though?
He is the lobster in the little pool.
Lobster Thermidor.
Darkness. Yeah. No parents.
The little lobster. Yeah. I just like when Alfred's like, "You're gonna have to go to this thing." He's like, "No, no, no, no." <You're> like, so good.
I'll just close this with this one thing. The other thing I thought after walking out of the Joker was that Patton Oswalt thing about Darth Vader. I don't need to know why he became Darth Vader, that he had a fucked up childhood.
Yeah.
Because that's what most of this movie is showing you what drove him to be the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept thinking of Patton Oswalt saying, I don't need to know that Darth Vader had a fucked up childhood.
Yeah.
And as a kid, he was unhappy. And that's why it's better almost that there's a mystique that he just drops into the universe. And you don't know why he's the way he is. Yeah. Well, that's kind of the way I felt with the Joker.
It's scarier if you don't know.
I did need Rogue One, though, for Darth Vader, because it made him even more badass.
Sure, but you didn't need to see him as a kid.
But it wasn't his bad... It wasn't,
you didn't
like,
need to see him as a little kid.
It wasn't his origin story.
You didn't need whiny...
He was already...
Seeing that little kid playing young Anakin didn't do anything to boost the Darth Vader story, in my opinion.
You're right.
And so with the Joker, it's almost like... That's the great thing about Heath Ledger. He keeps telling different origins to whoever he's tormenting. And you go, we don't know where this guy came from.
Because, I mean, it fit towards the comic book, too. You really didn't know. And you often hear different stories of where the Joker comes from. So.
And this is also the feeling... when you first read Killing Joke, you go, Jesus, this is, you're finding out exactly that this was a real person at one point, you know.
I love that one.
And this is pulling a little bit from that, but not 100%. Just the idea that somebody had a really shitty life, and day by day, week by week, it pushed him into just absolute psychosis, you know.
Somebody fucked his wife?
Insanity.
So there you go.
All right, guys. Thanks, Sean.
Yeah. I'll be very curious. I want everybody else to see it so they can tell me what they thought of it.
I will see it. I just haven't had it.
I'll go see it this weekend for you. Just for you, John.
Are you ready? Dun, dun. Dun, dun. Dun, dun.
Digital movies! Digital movies!
You're in the club. That was our worst one yet.
That's the best.
But I loved every second of it, and you were really on that mic, which I loved.
Yeah, he was like right up on that.
Sorry, it was no. See, you got to learn to back it up.
I usually do, but
he was too lazy to back up.
I was too lazy to move. I usually bend my chair back, and I was just too lazy today.
Well, you know, like, it is 6:30 p.m.
But I did blow out my ears for that, so that was fair.
Did a great job. All right, here we go, guys.
People are going to hate it. It's
if someone's wearing headphones and you see them lurch back for a second, you know they're listening to the podcast.
Trying to grab their phone to put them
Jesus,
on.
Son of a bitch.
Lurch.
I guarantee, like, there are people who hear this intro soundtrack and go, skip 10 seconds.
It's possible.
I would totally do that.
Would I blame them? No. Would I be hurt? Yes, I would.
Yes,
I would.
Would I be hurt? Here we go.
and I wish to keep on here.
I understand.
The automobile has been put to many uses. Once, the most popular use of the car was the Sunday family outing. But times have changed since then.
Drivers, to your car!
And what you are about to see takes a leisurely drive in the country and turns it into the world's first automobile stampede. Get ready for the ride of a lifetime. Get ready for used cars. It's a ride that's got something for everyone. There's excitement.
Hey, it's a deal. It's a deal. I'll sign.
Danger. Action. Thrilling women. And daring men. And it's got the most incredible race against time. And the biggest auto stampede ever seen on a motion picture screen.
I totally forgot that that's an element in the movie.
What's that?
The whole thing at the end with the cars. The mile of cars. I need more Kurt Russell in this trailer. They're underselling the Kurt Russell. Guys, who had seen Used Cars?
Yep.
It's a movie that puts you had.
This was a first.
John and I are the only two. Let's talk about it. Justine, last week on our podcast, you came in singing the praises of this movie.
Of Kurt Russell.
Of Kurt Russell. This is our first, I think it's our first Kurt Russell film. We haven't seen Kurt Russell yet.
Because this is the first time he's not in some dopey Disney movie, really.
Yeah,
pretty much. If you look at his filmography, it's the first time he's an adult in a real world situation.
What if he played Indiana Jones? You think he'd do a good job?
He would not, you are going to see a little bit of it in Big Trouble in Little China. He is kind of channeling Harrison Ford, kind of John Wayne.
Have you seen Escape from New York?
No.
We will be seeing it.
Wait till she sees Kurt Russell with an eye patch.
Oh, yeah. You're going to think it's...
I already see it. It's already... Yeah.
It's Snake Plissken.
Snake Plissken. All right, Justine, why don't you give us your thoughts on... First of all, let's I always forget to do this. Let's talk about the movie. Rudy Russo, Kurt Russell, is an unscrupulous car salesman who aspires to become a politician. In the meantime, Rudy works for the nice but ineffective automobile dealer Luke Fuchs. When Luke dies, Rudy takes over the lot. But he faces stiff competition from the scheming Roy L. Fuchs, who wants his brother's business for himself. Both are played by Mr. Jack Warden, great character actor. In order to get more customers, Rudy and Roy each devise ridiculous promotions to gain the upper hand. It's from 1980, directed by Robert Zemeckis, and written by Bob Gale, who will go on. This is the team that will go on to bring us Back to the Future.
And Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
And Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Yeah. 77% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think it should be a little higher.
That's
it? 6.7 on IMDb. And for me, this is a really great forgotten 80s comedy classic.
Yeah.
Justine!
It's really cheesy, but I love it. It had all the action I needed.
Uh-huh.
It had Kurt Russell. It had unnecessary boobs.
Whoa.
It had a dead man. Yeah. They had a dead man in a car with a huge explosion. That was cool.
This is the golden age of unnecessary boobs.
Yeah, and the crash cars. They just had abundance of
unannounced
cars.
Nipple.
Uncalled for.
All they had to
Nobody
do was keep crashing those cars. And
yet
then,
they're there.
It would be just like
that's
the
what I was
movie.
Talking about, John. I always remember the first, the most, everything I remember about this movie is always everything up to the car part. So, like, my favorite part is when they go on the other guy's lot and they're just shooting up his cars.
Oh, yeah.
Those prices are just too high.
They're just too freaking high.
Yes, sir.
And then they blow up I love they shooting the cars. He blows up the last one.
My favorite is when he shoots Frank McRae, and Frank McRae's screaming at the blood's pouring.
Yeah, he's like, oh shit, should I do it?
Yeah, he just goes, Jesus.
He really shot me.
He's selling it.
This movie makes me laugh. It's so dumb, and but Kurt Russell is so good in it.
But that's where it loses me, when they go to court and he starts helping the girl, and you're like, all right.
It loses
now,
you.
Well, because it gets cheesy. I'm like, no, now it's just cheesy.
It's a little bit
too sentimental.
But it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, did she just forget about what he did?
Yeah, kind of like you hit
kinda
my...
Kind of, sort of.
You hit my dad. And
you hit my dad's dead body,
oh,
but I love
you.
You
were pretending to like me, yeah. And you got paid off to... take me to prom.
Yeah, by the way, then he started to actually like her.
You mean her makeover really made her pretty?
That shows you what a great actor he is, because that scene in the bar, it's all in his face. He just was trying to get her off the track, and then he starts falling for her. And usually, that's a very dopey situation. Actors can't pull it off. And you see it in his face. He goes from, let's just get rid of her, to, oh, she's actually pretty cool. I'm enjoying myself, yeah. And I don't really want to mess her up. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it was cute with that, but...
I
the
think
best
parts
is when
acting.
He was just being funny and being a salesman. Like, I would have been fine just watching that.
Well,
the
that's
whole
99%
time.
Of the movie. But I'm saying that you can see that he can pull off more than just the jokes.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
He's got the whole patter down, doing the used car patter.
Yeah.
He's got it down. But when they needed him to pull off a quiet scene, he can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will always sing the praises of Kurt Russell. Kurt Russell's one of those movies. He's like he is a Gene Hackman. Like, I will watch anything that they're in. I'm like, oh. You know, this movie's crappy, but he's good. And Kurt Russell's the same way.
And he makes it look easy. So he's one of these guys that they're going to, you know, 20, 30 years, they're going to go, God, he was great. Look at all these movies he was
in. Well, you're going to see in the next just four or five movies what a
this
very,
is his heyday.
Yeah.
And most of them are junk. He's in The Thing.
Yeah, he's coming
know,
up in The
I'm
Thing.
I'm excited for
and
that.
Escape from New York.
If you look at his filmography, it all starts falling into place.
Yeah.
You know, because he does a bunch in a row. He does Escape from New York. Then he does The Thing. And... the movie he did before this one was they did a TV movie about Elvis, and he played Elvis.
Yeah, you know, they shot that at the Phillips 66 gas station over on Norwalk Boulevard.
Is that right?
And
no
shit. Yeah, a bunch of us went down there.
Did
I was
you
a
go?
Kid, and yeah, we were watching.
Did you see him up there?
It was Kurt Russell. It was an Elvis TV movie.
No
yeah.
kidding.
I don't know who it was, but I saw somebody in the phone booth. He was using the phone booth at the old
no kidding
66 on the corner of Norwalk and Burke.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. And that was John Carpenter directing.
And that was also, that gas station was also owned by Mr. Barrett. Mr. Barrett, and let me tell you something, John. They used to sell those Cokes in the small bottles for a quarter. Coldest Coca-Cola you ever had in your life in a glass bottle, like those little half glass
wow.
bottles. On the rollers, you pull them out,
yeah.
put the quarter and pull them out.
How
oh,
about
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
you're making the dad. Yeah.
Those are the days.
So,
okay,
so
let's
good
step
old days.
Memory lane here.
Mm-hmm. Justine, let's talk about what you liked aside from Kurt Russell. Like, did you like the movie as a whole? Was it funny to you? Was it
Kurt Russell?
Yeah, without. But did you like the other stuff surrounding, like the idea that like there's two? I love the whole premise. It's two twin brothers. One's
I know.
Nice,
it's
one's
just so
evil.
Crazy that they're brothers.
So dumb.
Jack Warden's great.
They could have not been brothers too, but the fact that they did that, you're like, really?
You know, Jack Warden said he would only do it if he got to play both. They weren't going to have him playing both brothers. He says, I'll only do it if I get to play both of them. And what a great actor. It's two completely different guys. You know?
Yeah.
I think it's the first time I've ever seen him without his mustache, and it was weird to me. I was like, wait a second.
Jack Warden's been in a ton of
well,
stuff.
Well, yes. 12 Angry Men. I mean, he goes way back.
Yeah. I do like it, but Kurt Russell brings on the charm in it. So.
What about Lenny and Squeaky as the guys?
I forgot that they were in it. I forgot that Lenny and Squeaky were in it, so I'm like, oh, that's great.
I love the scene where he's like, you're asking that of a guy who built his own pacemaker.
Oh yeah.
I love that. He's all, how do you recharge it? They're rechargeable. You change the battery. They're always great. I love how Zemeckis keeps putting them in, like they were 1941.
Yeah, 1941. Yeah, yeah.
Up on the roof.
Up on the
shooting.
Roof. Through Santa. They're shooting on the.
I love how we don't say David L. Lander and Michael McKean. We go, hey, Lenny and Squeaky,
Lenny and
we're in it.
Yeah, Lenny and Squeaky. I love it. 10 seconds, Rudy. 30-yard line, Rudy.
I love it. He's all, oh, this is where the film school pays off. Oh, boy, look at that.
Let me show you under the hood, guys.
So we know you love Kurt Russell, but you like the movie as a whole.
Yeah, sure.
I always wonder later on, John, if...
I don't know.
I always wonder in My Cousin Vinny, when they cast Fred Gwynne as the judge,
yeah.
if that was a kind of a reference to this where you have... Grandpa Luke, Grandpa
playing the judge.
Grandpa for playing the judge
for
the Munsters.
And boy, I forgot about that too. Yeah. Al Lewis. Yeah. You don't get much Al Lewis when he's not playing Grandpa Munster. Yeah. And that was great. He had the little hangman and the little guillotine and the little electric chair. He really sold it. They go, this guy, you know, he's not messing around. It's Grandpa. I love how they're measuring the cars. Yeah. Like, oh, you're about 5 inches off. Yeah. It's like. Patrick, Joe Flaherty too. I'm sorry, Joe Flaherty.
Yeah, he plays it pretty straight though.
Pretty straight, but you gotta love him.
I was really sad that he didn't get any jokes.
Straight man.
Patrick.
It was a lot of fun. I actually laughed pretty loudly watching this. There was two scenes that I really really enjoyed. It's the bar scene where he's breaking all his superstitions and he's just like, fuck it, I know what I have to do. And he just starts destroying everything.
That's great with the salt.
Yeah, and it's just like, he made the movie for me.
What a
he
friend.
Really made me laugh.
Ah, Garrett Graham.
Yeah, Garrett Graham was pretty hilarious in this. And just like how he started interacting with the dog too, like how he uses the dog underneath the car, like pretends he runs over to sell the car.
It's a great scene.
And that dog is great. Because the dog is like
so smart.
He's such a smart boy.
Oh, yeah.
Little Toby. The other one was when they're shooting up the cars in the parking lot. Just shooting that commercial was hilarious. I could not stop laughing. I was dying. And then just how the whole Jimmy Carter address tied into it was so great. I'm just like, oh my God. But it was a lot of fun. I do agree. I think I was pretty locked in right up until the car part where they're pulling all the cars. I could have done without it. I mean, it just would have been like, oh.
It's pretty standard issue. Now we're going to smash up a bunch of
like,
cars.
I would have been fine if they had just been at the end of it, you know, oh, he bought it. Cool.
Yeah.
Good. Story's over.
I think in those days, that would sell the movie, like Gone in 60 Seconds and Eat My Dust. People like to see that sort of thing.
Yeah.
The car chase,
And that's what's in the preview.
Smokey and the Bandit.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. So, but I mean, without that, I would have been, you know, like over the moon with it. But it was good. It was fun. I really enjoyed it. I laughed.
Guess what?
What?
My favorite gag is the scene with the little kids falling out of the station wagon.
Oh yeah! Every time they hit that trench, I laughed out loud. Yeah,
it's so sad.
I always forget it's coming, and then it happens, and I just bust out laughing.
And that's like the third time somebody loses like a bumper or a light. Every time somebody goes through there, I did not see that coming, and they landed perfectly.
I love that scene where he slaps the sticker on the guy. Goes like.
And the bumper falls.
Shit. Yeah. That was a waste of a good bumper sticker.
And literally putting gum. Yeah. You hear that expression with spit and pit. It's just like.
So good.
Sandy, you had never seen this film.
Oh my God.
Did you love it? I know you're a big comedy guy.
Loved it.
Did you love it?
Yes.
This is one of my brother's favorite movies just for the scene with the. He was one that recommended it to me back in the. So you got to see this movie, Used Cars. And the scene that got him was the scene with the shotgun. When
there's just a lot of hijinks in this movie.
Yeah,
it's
just
great.
A lot of dumb fun.
Hijinks. Yeah.
What did you like?
Very
the
common
best,
thing in an 80s movie.
Okay. You guys mentioned a couple of them already. The pacemaker, I think, would have been a spit take for me.
Yeah.
Because he's like, oh, you don't think I can do it? Look what I did to this guy. And he's like, only $13.
Look what I did to this guy.
$12.99.
Yeah.
And then I really like the judge where he's sitting there playing with all his little torture instruments. Yeah. Yes. Like a little guillotine.
The hangman. Was that what they call him? The hanging. Yeah. I forgot his name. He had a nickname.
Oh, Judge Roy Bean or
something. It was weird.
Yeah. Like
but you did like it. I'm so glad, Sammy. Yeah. What? Bless you. Okay, honey.
Yeah, allergic to bullshit.
What? Wow.
I'm just kidding.
How do you stand yourself?
I don't know. I'm a horrible person.
Mm-hmm. How tall are you?
5'11".
I didn't know this yet.
Yeah.
I.
Yeah, you fucked it up. Good
job. Jack Palance would have got nailed it.
I didn't know they shat. Is how that sentence ended.
Didn't know they stacked shit that high.
Thank you, honey.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Jack Palance.
Hey.
I've never heard that about before.
Yep.
City Slickers.
Wow. Good job, guys.
Shit right. That high.
So, Sandy, do you agree with Justine that...
Justine.
Do you agree with Justine that young Kurt Russell is something of a snack?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You do? You really?
I think he has very unique hair.
Well, yes. Let me tell you something about Kurt Russell, and I will say this. He is the only person that does not look ridiculous with a mullet. He,
He works the mullet.
It's so shiny.
He rocks a mullet later. You haven't even seen the full mullet. Wait till we get to...
Big Trouble?
Wait till we get to Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah. That's when you get full on mullet.
Yeah, that's full mullet.
Mm-hmm. He's just so charming.
I do.
Cute little smile.
I'm a sucker for Kurt Russell. I'll watch anything he's in.
And what other actor could pull off both the Barefoot Executive and Death Proof?
Yeah.
He works if it's a Disney movie, and it works if it's a Tarantino movie.
Yeah, it's true.
So we can do anything.
He had a great little bit in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He wasn't in it very long, but he was still Kurt Russell.
He's always memorable.
Still Kurt Russell. Yeah. So you did like it, Sandy. I'm so glad. Did you watch it with or without Jake?
With Jake.
And did you both laugh? Were you laughing?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good. Mm-hmm. Jake, what did you think, man?
I thought it was funny. It was good. Yeah, same scenes that made everyone laugh made me laugh.
Oh my gosh, Toby, when he played
I was...
His tongue was
I marveled
he was so good.
At how well that dog was trained.
I know. I love that he just like belly crawls.
Belly crawled and laid down.
He's whining the whole time.
Picked him up completely limp, and you see him like stick his tongue out. I'm like, he's such a good dog. Oh my God.
And he can get a screwdriver. He can waddle over.
No,
get the
Toby. I said a Phillips.
No, poor Toby.
So good. And yeah, the scene where they're blowing up the cars, that made me laugh.
Yeah.
That's just, it's so absurd and so funny.
On the other guy's lot.
And then just like, too, when the FBI shows up, he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just as offended as you are.
I know. I love when they say they were offended that they were on the president's, you know, you interrupted the president. Hey, you think we want to be on a show with the president? Think about how insulted we were. We don't want to be associated with the president.
So good. John?
Yeah.
Does this hold up for
you? Oh, yeah. Funny as hell. There's some things that definitely tell you it's 1980, but
oh yeah,
disco and the whole,
and the boobs
and the and the boobs,
yeah,
just excessive boobs is just a good tell that you're in the 80s.
This carnival idea is the best idea I ever had, and then the disco.
I love that.
I love, you know, there's cars crashing and there's you know.
And I love Garrett Graham going all the way back to like Phantom of the Paradise.
Oh yeah.
He's always great, always funny. So right from when you first see him with the rabbit's foot, and
oh
that,
you're my just god,
like, he's just funny all the way through it. You know,
it's a red car.
He's a great one to play. You know, Kurt Russell and him have a great sort of chemistry. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's gray primer under there. You'll
I love
be fine.
That exactly.
So good.
I love when he sees it in the mirror. He's driving alongside that truck with the mirrors, and he's all. Ah! This is a great moment. Has to pull over, hyperventilating.
I love all the setup. Like, he needs to see the car, so you're like, okay, we'll just stick a truck in with a bunch of mirrors on it.
Yeah, right, of course. He just happens.
You can almost see them riding.
How's he going to see the car while he's driving?
I know.
And he literally says, what's this, a mirror-sided truck?
And then he looks at the audience and winks.
Guys, it's time to rate used cars, the forgotten classic from the 1980s. Let's start with, we'll go back around. John, let's start with your rating.
I give it like an 8.
Give it an 8.
Yeah, very funny.
Hey, $50 never killed anything.
Funny, that's right. That's a great scene when he comes in. You know, when I show my boss these figures, he's going to have a stroke. Comes in the door, foaming at the mouth.
But he also like takes the money out of the guy's hand.
It's the last thing he does before
he's
he
like,
dies.
He's like, okay, I'll buy it. And he's like, all right.
You got to love Jack Warden.
Ah, so good.
Where's my brother? Oh, he went to Florida. Like, oh, you know, he's got heart problems. Like, I know he's got fucking heart problems. He's
like, I know he's so mean.
And just a nice subplot of him trying to become a senator in the background. It's just like, really?
So I know. Good. You're like, this is exactly the sort of guy that would become a senator.
State senator.
Perfect.
Jake, what did you think?
I give it a 7.5.
7.5. Sandy?
9.5.
Wow!
Damn!
Sandy loves her
this
used
is something
cars.
I could probably watch every week.
What? Yeah. She's like in the eye candy.
Yeah. Justine.
I was gonna give it an 8.
8 for the movie, 10 for Kurt Russell?
Yes.
And last but not least, our man Patrick.
It's an 8. Solid. It made me laugh.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it. I give it a 7.
I'd give it a 9 if it didn't have the carbs at the end.
With a comedy, if you're laughing, you got to give it a pretty high
rating.
Yeah,
I mean, and 2 for it being that old to stand up like that. Yeah, that's really impressive. That's the part that's probably the most.
Oh, sorry.
Most impressive.
There were a lot of cars.
Yeah,
they got a lot of cars.
There's like
in
a mile
shot.
Of cars. Guys.
There were a mile of cars.
It's like 253 of them, I think, or something like that. It was close. We were almost short 18 inches.
It's pretty. Yeah, it was a lot.
Or 18
so,
feet.
What do you rate it, Mario?
I said a 7.
Thank you.
You did not, but you just did now.
No, he did say 7.
I said a 7. I give it about a 7.
It's just because you weren't listening.
What?
I give it about a 7.
Mm-hmm. 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 Got to pay attention.
What?
You guys ready?
Stand by for the most extraordinary chain of events ever swept up into high adventure.
Hey, Larry, where's the forklift?
Forklift! It's over there for the baggage loader.
Airplane. Airplane is drama.
This is Dr. Brody at the Mayo Clinic. There's a passenger on your Chicago flight 209, or a little girl named Lisa Davis, en route to Minneapolis. She's scheduled for a heart transplant. I want you to make sure that she's kept in a reclined position and that a continuous watch is kept on her IV.
Airplane is action. Airplane is romance.
I love you, Elaine.
I love you.
Airplane is music.
There is only one river. There is only one sea.
I like that you can hear the pop. You say that.
Airplane is dancing. Never has the screen been so big.
You ever been in a cockpit before?
No, sir. I've never been up in a plane before.
Peter Graves.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Seen a grown man naked?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
My name is Roger Murdoch. I'm an airline pilot.
Leslie Nielsen.
This woman has to be gotten to a hospital.
A hospital? What is it?
It's a big building with patients, but that's not important right now.
Lloyd Bridges.
Johnny, what can you make out of this?
This? Well, I can make a cap. Or a brooch. Or a pterodactyl. Could you get
Robert Stack.
All right, Steve, let's face a few facts.
And we hope you enjoy the rest of your flight.
Julie Haggerty.
By the way, is there anyone on board who knows how to fly a plane?
Can you fly this plane and land it?
Robert Hayes.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
I've got to get out of here. I've got to get out of here.
Calm down. Get a hold of yourself.
Please, let me handle this.
Calm
down.
I'll get back to your seat. I'll take care of this.
Calm down.
Get home.
Everything's been
pulled.
Mayday.
Mayday.
All right, now everybody, get in crash positions.
The most incredible adventure the screen has ever created.
He's coming right at us!
The big news is... Airplane.
All right, guys. Airplane. I mean, this John...
Just hearing. Just hearing those clips, it's killing me.
John, this movie, though, I don't think the kids understand the impact that this movie had. Comedies are really never the same. Because there had been a few things like this, like Blazing Saddles. But this really launched a whole genre of like that parody.
Absolutely. Nobody had taken it to this level before.
Where there's literally jokes no matter, and some, not all good, but they're literally just throwing every joke.
It's happening so fast that if you didn't laugh at that one, there's another one coming 2 seconds later.
It's puns, it's
you know what it is? It's like a live action Mad Magazine.
Kind of, yeah.
Because it plays out like one of those parodies, which is what they're pretty much doing, you know?
It was directed by David Zucker, Jim Abrams, Jerry Zucker, previously of Kentucky Fried Movie, another great movie we didn't actually watch. It was actually based on a movie called Zero Hour by Arthur Haley. It was, let's see.
Arthur Haley also did Airport.
Yeah, and they wrote the screen too. They wrote the screenplay, I'm sorry. This gets only a 78 or 7.7 on IMDb, but 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. Released July 2nd, 1980. John, did you see this in the theater?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because the trailer was so funny. The one you just played, you know? So it's like, and plus we had seen Kentucky Fried Movie. So we were like, okay, we got to see this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was it like seeing that
movie? Oh, just laughing our heads off. The whole audience is just, you know. The whole movie, everyone's just laughing their heads off.
Yeah.
It just comes so fast and furious, you know.
Did you have a particular, is there a favorite sequence of yours?
God,
in this movie?
They're all great. I love all the stuff with Robert Stack and Lloyd Bridges. I mean, they got the right guys. Peter Graves, Leslie Nielsen, these are the right guys, you know.
Yeah, they were all the kind of those real kind of stalwart 60s TV guys.
Yeah.
and very known for kind of playing stiff.
And they'd all done movies like this. That's the thing. If you look at their filmographies, they'd all done movies like this. As a matter of fact, Robert Stack had done a million movies where he's the pilot. I think The High and the Mighty, he's playing the one that cracks. He's like the co-pilot that cracks under the pressure. So he'd played every permutation. And of course, he'd done like 5 years on the Untouchables TV. He won an Emmy for the Untouchables TV series.
Yeah.
And I think they're the first person. He's the first person they tried to get. They said, we got to get Robert Stack for this part. And he's also the one who actually got what they were trying to do. Everybody else, like Lloyd Bridges and Leslie Nielsen, they were saying, why us? Why don't you get some comedians? This is a funny script, but why don't you get some comedians? I go, no. You guys are going to be playing the kind of characters you usually play.
Yeah.
And Robert Stack was on board from the beginning. He said to Peter Graves, no, we are the joke. All you have to do is just do it straight.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because the rest of them are like, I'm not sure quite how to play it. Just play it like you would normally. And it's all in the script. You
and
know?
All you know, credit to them all because they really do carry.
All of them are great, yeah. You know. Just looks amazing.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to stop sniffing glue.
Oh, God.
That probably got the biggest laugh. Every time they panned him, you know, the one where he's like, he's upside down, you know. They
just it's like I picked the wrong week to stop doing amphetamines.
Yes. Yeah. Looks like I picked the wrong week to stop.
And Peter Graves almost didn't do it. He said, his wife just thought it was, she talked him into it. She said, this is so funny. You got to do it.
It's so funny.
And he said, this could wreck my career.
Yeah,
if people don't get this, it's going to ruin me.
He's so good. He was so good as Captain Over. So great.
And the stuff with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, when he grabs the kid and goes, listen, you tell your dad. I'm out there busting my buns every night.
Dad says you don't try too hard, just during the playoffs. Listen, kid, been hearing that crap since I was at UCLA.
And when they pull him out, he's wearing the goggles. And he's got and his jersey.
Shorts, yeah, the shorts. Oh, so good. For no reason.
Oh, God. It just, yeah, this is like Blazing Saddles in that it's more laughs per minute than any movie you can think of. You
sure.
Know?
Who had not seen Aeroplane?
You,
Jake,
you
I'm surprised.
I'm shocked, too.
Yeah, I think I've seen snippets.
This is.
And my mom loves this movie, and so I've heard Call Me Shirley. And
this seems like it's right up your alley. What did you think finally sitting down to watch it?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
There's so many little details that you have to watch this movie multiple times to get like the tiny little details, and it's God, there's no weak link with any of the actors. They play it so straight, and it just makes it so funny.
Even the tiniest little parts they cast perfectly, like the Japanese soldier sitting next to Robert Hayes.
Yeah, every time he talks about his girlfriend when things used to be good, they're like all trying to kill themselves.
The guy with the match.
Yeah,
should I go? He's all nodding his head. Yes, you should go.
Any flashback, somebody kills themselves.
Did you catch Kenneth Toby from the original thing?
The original,
the guy
thing?
With the red hair. He was the star of the thing.
He
yeah.
was the guy from. Yeah, he was the guy in the background with Lloyd Bridges. There's some reporters here. They want to talk to you.
There's a lot of like smart ass remarks too that I'm like, yes, this is perfect.
I think my favorite. I told John. I think my favorite line, because it makes no sense, is like, it always makes you laugh just the way he says it. He's like, first he's at 7,000 feet, now he's at 12,000 feet. What an asshole.
He's all over the place. What an asshole.
And they're like, put on the searchlights. No, that's just what they expect us to do.
That's such a good line because he just stares off into like the middle distance.
Just hearing his voice too. Like,
Robert Stack.
Oh, God. You got to give Robert Stack for being able to do that flip where he kicks the guy. That's not a stunt
That's really
guy.
Him. That's yeah, really you know, him. You know, all those guys, you know, which is donation for the United Church of whack. You know?
So funny.
That part. So.
Krishna
starts
conscious.
Beating up every single person.
I know, dude. Jews for Jesus.
He's the right guy. And then when he takes off the sunglasses, just little moves. He takes off the sunglasses. He's got another pair underneath.
I love it.
Rex Kramer. Get me Rex Kramer.
Rex Kramer was the danger seeker in Kentucky Fried Movie. I don't know. That was the guy.
Didn't he do like Unsolved Mysteries? I think for like 12 years he was the guy that did Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah, that's why you hear his voice for the first time in that, like, he does the intro and you're just like, because it brings back so many memories. You're just like, oh my God, I'm so creeped out.
Jake shaved his beard and it was never seen again. That's how he does the whole
thing. Yeah, it's exactly the
and,
same.
You know, they wanted him for that... They wrote that line just for him, that it's his ball game now. He's the big cheese, the big kahuna. He's the man in charge, top dog. They wanted to hear him. They said the day that he did that line, they're like, come on, do it.
That's awesome. Yeah, they really knew what they were getting.
They wrote it for him. They said, we got to get him, you know.
They really knew what they were doing when they cast everyone.
And, you know, they offered him that at some point. They weren't quite sure if it was going to be a monster hit. Nobody knew it was going to be the big hit that it was. And they offered Robert Stack to get a profit participation. They said, we can give you an extra $20,000 or we can, you know, give you some a piece of the movie. And he took the money. And they said, well, none of us knew it was going to be a big hit. We just thought, we're lucky if anybody comes, you know.
It's one of those things. And it kind of launches... Leslie Nielsen.
Oh, my God. Into a whole stratosphere of
movies.
It
gives him a career.
Yeah.
Because Police Squad was 2 years after this.
No.
And he was just doing TV
movies.
And
you get all the Naked Gun stuff for him.
Oh, and, it's just and those like, are all great.
I know.
Yeah.
Sandy, do you love this movie already?
I love this movie.
Already? It was already a...
It's got a bunch of good one-liners, mm-hmm. but it still is a very good movie as a whole, and that's when you know it's a great comedy.
What a lot of people don't know is that a lot of these lines are taken from the movie Zero Hour.
Oh,
like,
God.
They lift it, like, someone, like, we've got to find someone who can not only land this plane, but who didn't have fish for dinner.
That's a
real line from this 50s.
You know, it was so close, they had to buy the rights to Zero Hour. They said, we better protect ourselves, because this is almost... scene by scene, line by line, mm-hmm. it is Zero Hour, so we better buy the rights so that they can't come and get us.
One of the great gags in the whole movie, and it happens so often you don't think about it, is the fact that it's a jet, but you hear like it's propellers.
As yeah.
So it's like, love it. I love it. So you had already seen this, Sandy? It was mm-hmm.
Yeah, a few times.
This is not a surprise. Do you have a favorite line from this movie or a favorite sequence?
I like when they're dancing and the guy gets stabbed in the back.
Like, yes. Nicole and I do that to each other all. Whenever we dance, we do that thing over here.
And I love the little kids with the coffee.
Jesus.
I like the coffee like I like my men.
Black.
That might be the bit, you know, that might have been the biggest laugh out of the
Or Barbara Billingsley.
You don't see that one coming at all.
Barbara Billingsley being a helpful translator.
I talk giant.
Oh, God.
Oh, Jesus.
The Beaver's mom. That's the Beaver's mom.
And I guess the Zucker brothers are such huge Leave It to Beaver fans that they said they were just in awe. They just said she was so cool, so nice. They said that was the big day when she got to do her scene because they were just watched Leave It to Beaver religiously.
That's so funny.
That's why they turn up. Tony Dow turns up in Kentucky Fried Movie.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
They actually said for that they cast Eddie Haskell and Jerry Mathers. And he said for some reason Eddie Haskell didn't show up. So he said, okay. We'll just have to sit in and do it ourselves.
That's great, though.
Yeah. They're just...
good times. Justine. Airplane, the movie.
It was okay.
Patrick.
Do you guys watch... do you watch them together? Usually, are you watching the movies together?
No.
Ever?
I can't.
I think you might enjoy it slightly more if you hear him laugh.
No, I can't. It's frustrating.
If I'm not laughing at what he wants me to laugh
at, it's literally emotionally demoralizing watching a movie with her.
It brings you down, right?
Because I'm just like, the fuck? Why doesn't she like this? Is there something wrong with me?
I mean, I like the part where they're like, I don't know the guy's name. John, pick up the white phone. And he goes to the red one. They're like, wrong phone. And they're like, pick up the white phone. He's like, I got it.
Oh, well, it's Captain Over.
It's just the person above.
I got it.
It's just the PA person. Like,
over. Roger, off. Roger.
Give me a ham on five. Hold
vector.
The mail.
What's our vector, Victor?
Oh my God!
Oh, that's great.
Jake died at that one.
What? Give me ham on five. Hold the mail.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the magazine he's reading.
Yeah.
It's like modern sperm.
They said the Mayo doctor. Mayo doctor. I'm like, oh my God.
Yep.
They and literally. Like, they have named like. I'm like, okay, it's going to be this kind of movie. Mm-hmm. Where someone has a name and it's going to literally be a punchline mm-hmm. like later on. Yeah.
Captain Over, Captain Over, Under.
Victor.
Victor.
And then we're like, Roger. He's all, what? Mm-hmm. Huh? Okay, Roger.
Roger,
huh?
What?
What?
So you weren't laughing?
The only scenes I liked was Kareem. That's it.
You were laughing?
When he stood up and he's wearing his shorts, I'm like, that's funny. But it was just too much at once, and I just didn't like that. And then the story, there wasn't like the storyline was just, it was so everywhere and so scattered. I hated it. And I don't like that lady.
Justine. Julie Haggerty.
Haggerty? I do not like that little voice.
What's
it
like to live a joyless existence?
But it's just like The Shining. I didn't like that other girl's voice.
Oh, Shelley, why do you hate
Olive Oil's
good
voice?
Things.
I don't like
it. I love it. Olive Oil.
Olive I know oil. Her as Olive Oil.
I know. What's great is she always looks like Olive Oil.
Yeah,
she was
she's
born.
Just olive
she was
oil
born to
me.
Play Olive Oil. Mm-hmm.
But I don't like that tiny little voice. Just bothers me. Mm. So, I don't know.
I like. Anybody here a doctor?
Yeah, I miss when.
Do we have a doctor in here?
When I would sit on your face and wiggle.
It was just so everywhere that I couldn't laugh.
I think this is the best movie to like to use lines out of context.
Yes,
yeah.
Use lines out of context.
This yeah. is the movie of one-liners. Yeah. That's what
it's
this
all
movie
one-liners.
Is known for.
Basically.
It's every single scene
much,
is a one-liner.
Though. Like I just didn't. I don't know. I don't know.
How many times, John, would we work together? We'd just be out of conversation,
yeah.
and one of us would go, "Do you like to watch movies about gladiators?"
Oh, God.
Oh, remind me, John. I have a story for you.
Okay. Ever seen a grown man naked?
About when not gladiator movies. About when you run out of when you run out of things to talk about.
Yes.
There was a certain somebody you used to
oh,
say
yeah,
that.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I ran into that person the other day because they cut me off at the grocery. They cut me and my 85-year-old mother off at the grocery store.
Mm.
So just remember that.
Okay, we'll talk about it.
Mm. We'll continue. We might as well talk about it now.
No, we don't want to mention any names.
No, okay. No. That's,
his name was the name of somebody who worked in the cockpit. That's right.
That's right.
I can't tell you.
Huh?
His name was Captain Over.
What?
Patrick? You love this movie, obviously.
I absolutely love this movie. I've seen it a ridiculous amount of times. It has one of my favorite lines from a movie of all times, which is, "Nervous? No. First time? No, I've been nervous lots of times." So good. This movie is made for one-liners. I mean, it's every single moment in this movie is ridiculously funny. Like, they check the weather by looking out the window. You've got the little Jesus statue in the front of the car.
You see that's Jimmy Walker checking the oil?
Yes.
And I love they do so many gags.
She had to blow up the autopilot.
They do so many gags that are just like maybe won't even play as gags because they're so subtle. Like when they are checking the weather and everything, and Peter Graves is doing the credit card.
Right.
He's like signing the gas credit card and
it's
doing
ridiculous.
That whole thing.
The guy falls off when he's filling the tank. I mean,
it is Jimmy Walker too.
There's so many great moments in
he
this
left
movie.
The taxi running the whole
that man was dedicated to stay in that taxi for that.
And
month.
That's Howard Jarvis. You remember Howard Jarvis, right? Yeah.
John
this movie makes me
that's the first movie I remember having a tag after the credits.
Yeah.
And he's still sitting there. I'm gonna give him 20 more minutes and that's it.
This movie makes me cry because of how funny it is. It's ridiculous.
Let's rank it. One of the greatest comedies of all time. With up there with the likes of Blazing Saddles. Sure to get tens from everyone at the table. John Sandy.
Yeah, it's a 10. For a comedy, it's a 10. Yeah.
Give it a solid 9.
Solid 9. Solid Sandy. 9.
I gave Used Cars 9.5, so I'm going to go 9.6.
All right, so you like it slightly better than... Okay. Patrick?
It's a 10.
I got to give this one a 10, because this was such a huge...
It makes me cry when I watch it.
It was a cultural touchstone, like, of people that grew up, like, my age. Like, everybody could quote this movie. Everybody, we all quoted it as kids. We all knew.
How many movies are you laughing, like, every scene? You're laughing your head off, you know?
And it's a out movie. Loud. It's a movie where you can have, like, a 10-year-old kid and like, your parents. And
I mean, how many people walk up to you and say, "And don't call me Shirley"? Like,
exactly.
I've heard that so many times.
It's like The Simpsons. You're right. If you're a kid, you're laughing because of slapstick stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And then if you're an adult, you're going, "God, did you see that, you know, they're panning on the gauges for about 5 minutes." You know? Like, little things, you know?
Justine.
I give it a 3.
Oh, fuck.
What?
Oh.
Well, you weren't laughing.
I was guessing.
Right? You weren't laughing.
We had a little private bet. I guessed a 5.
What's worse, Casablanca getting a 6 or Airplane getting a 3?
Yeah, here's the thing with the comedy.
It's pretty bad.
But it's comedy.
If it's a comedy and you're not laughing, then you're not going to give it a high rating. You did not find this funny. You really didn't find it funny.
Joyless.
I'm so glad we don't watch these movies together.
And speaking,
I would be dead.
Comedies are rough because you can't convince somebody that something's funny.
I mean,
if
it's
they don't
true.
Think it's,
like,
if they don't think it's funny, you know.
I hated Steve Martin. I hated that
jerk.
Movie. The Jerk.
Yeah.
I hated that movie.
I didn't like Dr. Strangelove.
No, see, there you go. She liked The Jerk.
Well, you're just inhuman.
I did like The Jerk. And he's like, he hates milk.
That movie was crass and inappropriate.
You know something?
Oh, it's cans. He hates cans?
He hates these cans.
Oh, cans.
That movie just so...
Stay away from those cans.
You know what's funny is they're both the same kind of comedy.
Oh,
those are both sort of dopey comedies with a lot of slapstick and a lot of...
It's like...
But Airplane just... It did so much. It was too much.
Interesting.
At once.
So you thought it was too
she
much.
Doesn't
so
like
you're making the
learn
movie.
To multitask, girl.
I just didn't. I was like
she doesn't like to pay attention to multiple.
I was
going to
say the movie
story,
is
know,
taking the hit for her lack of attention.
And then also too, she doesn't want to express any emotion. So
that completely. Killed.
Well, we just put her into submission.
Everyone's all. Gee, I don't know what to say.
She's basically saying I'm not wrong.
She's made a noise.
She agrees.
She's trying to figure out what the emotion is. Like, what are you talking?
Just in general, any movie.
It's sweet emotion, is what it is.
Laughter, joy.
Okay.
All right,
all
guys.
All the good feelings that make you human.
Quick update. Your Dodgers are up 3-0. And speaking of joyless.
What inning is it?
It is the top of the fifth.
Yeah. It's a good sign so far.
We are going to do Blade Runner, right?
We should.
Okay.
Speaking of joyless.
Remember those cheers? They still ring in my ears. And for years, they remain in my thoughts.
Jake LaMotta and Jimmy Reeves in the Cleveland Arena. LaMotta is undefeated.
And though I'm no Olivier, but before Sugar Ray, he would say that the thing ain't the ring, it's the play. So give me a stage where there's bullhead can rage. And though I can fight, I'd much rather recite. That's entertainment.
He thinks he's going to walk in there and become champion on his own. He could beat all the Sugar Ray Robinsons in the world, but he ain't going to get a shot at that title, not without us, he ain't.
I ain't never going to get a chance to fight the best there is. And you know something? I'm better than him.
I've done a lot of bad things. Maybe it's coming back to me. I
was like a peak you reach, and then it's downhill.
Did you fuck my wife?
What? I'm not gonna answer that. I'm not gonna answer. I'm leaving.
That was the original title of the movie.
That's not what you said.
We'll give you the balls.
Why don't you say it?
Ask me that.
Huh? Because you're stupid. I love his brother. Balls. Why are you saying that? Because you're stupid. Yeah. I'm not gonna answer.
Look at the balls on you to ask me that. 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. Raging Bull, 1980, directed by Martin Scorsese. Cinematography, we have to talk about it, by Michael Chapman. Beautiful black and white cinematography. Mm-hmm. Academy Award winner, which we have not. Best actor for Robert De Niro. Best film editing. Thelma Schoonmaker, who was, she also.
I think she's on all his movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. From the beginning, I think.
But yeah, 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's the story of a middleweight boxer as he rises through the ranks to earn his first shot at the middleweight crown.
True
Falls
story.
In love with a gorgeous girl from the Bronx.
15-year-old.
His inability to express his feelings enters the ring and eventually takes over his life. And it was released December 19th, your favorite Christmas movie, 1980. Fuck. Let's talk about it. Patrick!
This movie's kind of like watching a car crash where you know his life is horrible and he's a horrible human being, but you cannot look away.
Mm-hmm.
It is stunningly beautiful the way it's shot. The visuals are fantastic, and just some of the scenes, like the last fight scene with Sugar Ray, like just that scene alone makes the movie for me. But he is a really shitty person.
Yeah.
And it is, you come out of this movie incredibly depressed. Yeah. It's painful to watch, and I completely agree with your guys' statement earlier. I don't think I ever want to watch this again.
I can watch it about once every... I'm this way with a lot of Scorsese movies. Like Goodfellas, I find entertaining. Casino is very entertaining.
Those are kind of fun.
Those are kind of fun, but
I mean, they're uncomfortable, but it's not like Raging Bull.
Raging Bull, but you know what it is? It's De Niro's performance.
Oh, yeah. He's fantastic in this movie. Awful. It's just
the craftsmanship that went in, like the way all of the fights are shot differently, yeah. They're lit differently. Yeah. There's a lot going on here. There's a lot of layers to it. But it's like we talked about, like with Lawrence of Arabia. It's basically someone who's unlikable, and you're wallowing in their life for 2 hours.
It's painful to watch.
But it is fantastic.
Beautifully shot.
I mean, the cinematography alone really makes the movie. I really, really appreciate it.
And he was not a boxing fan. It really took a lot. Scorsese was not a sports fan, not a boxing fan, did not want to do it. De Niro gave him the book years before, when he was like in the hospital after like a drug overdose or something. He says, read this thing. This is going to be a great movie. He's all, I don't know how to approach it. I don't like boxing. And he finally figured out a way to get in. And then from then on, you could just see. You'd never know. This thing is shot like a ballet.
Yeah,
you know, it's shot.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's gorgeous. So he found a way to do it, but you'd never know this guy wasn't a boxing fan.
Exactly.
So this is one of those movies that, like, I appreciate the way it looks and the way it's done and the artistic creativity, but I won't watch it again.
You know what I love about this movie is I was thinking, next time Justine says something about like Tom Holland, you're gonna be like, "What do you mean he's good looking?
What do you mean he's good looking?
What do you mean?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?"
How old is she?
I need you to follow her.
I never said that.
Did you fuck my wife?
Can you prove to me you're 18?
When you meet Tom Holland?
Oh, yeah. God. Can you prove to me you're 21? Jesus 21. Christ.
Justine, so what did you think? This is right up your alley, this kind of movie right here.
It was beautiful. Just too long. I didn't really need all those scenes. It just took too long to get through things, and he is just a bad person, so why do I want to watch this still?
Because it's awesome.
I just want to walk away from it.
It's a good character piece.
I don't want to do this
anymore. It's a character study.
Yeah, character
but,
study.
But De Niro, great.
Yeah.
Just really great.
You understand why he has it's kind of a shame now that we're on the other side of everything he's done since Heat is basically...
Meet the Fockers?
He's good in the first Meet the Parents, but now he's doing these kind of like... Him and Pacino have kind of fallen off.
But you know what? They're both in The Irishman, and guess what? That's the new Scorsese movie, The Irishman. Good. They're all in that. It's get this. That's coming out like in about a month. It's De Niro, Pacino, Joe Pesci, and Harvey Keitel.
Oh,
you've
beautiful.
Got all four of them in one movie with Scorsese.
It'll
directing.
Be interesting.
This is going to be like...
I hope so.
This is going to be the Gone with the Wind of gangster movies.
I love the time, though. Like, their outfits are beautiful.
They do such a good job.
Her like bathing suit was cute. Her little outfit that mm-hmm. she got was cute.
It was perfect. It was perfect. All the music. There's Gene Krupa in the background. There's all kinds of stuff.
Great music.
It took me a while to realize who the girl was. I totally forgot about her.
Kathy Moriarty.
Yeah.
This is her first movie, I think.
And then...
she's the daughter of Professor Moriarty. I don't know if you guys know that.
Did they ever catch him?
Well, he did write a thesis on the...
We're done. As a woman watching it, I did not like it.
Right, because he's just, so completely
he's horrible,
rotten.
Horrible, and you're like, why? Are,
the whole
why?
15-year-old thing is creepy too. It like is. That's just,
and he's yes. married for Christ's sake.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's over the top.
Yeah,
but good acting.
The makeup too is really really solid. Like just like his aging makeup was really well done.
The best thing you can say about it is you don't even think about it. Everything is so spot on, you just buy it. It's like you're watching a documentary. The clothes, the cars, the music, the mm-hmm. look, you're not even thinking about it. You're not going, hey, that mm-hmm. looks like the 50s. It's just, you buy it.
Yeah.
It's like you're watching real life, you know?
Yeah, it looks, yeah.
Now, did he have to go through those extreme weight changes throughout the movie?
That's not a fat suit. He gained about...
Because it looked real.
Like, the only thing isn't real is the nose. Yeah. Like, the nose is the part that's fake.
And his doctor told him, okay, you shouldn't do this again. This is not healthy, what you put on to do this.
Yeah.
Don't do it all the time.
Because at one point, he's lean and just muscly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think they took a break. Mm-hmm. They said, okay, we've done the fat scenes,
yeah,
and now...
Belly button was all tight and everything.
That's like Christian Bale when he went through his crazy
weight fluctuations. Is that what you look
for? The mechanic?
I just noticed. I'm like, his skin
a lot.
You like a taut belly button?
Yeah, his belly button's like...
There was no like little pudge around his belly button. It was just like...
It's a front anus.
That's the hardest half pound to lose, right around the belly button.
Just that little... It wasn't pudgy at all. She was kissing and I'm like, wow, look at his body.
But there's those fight scenes, though, they're kind of done in the... I was noticing like when they do show the scene where she's like kissing his face and like he's like, kiss my boo-boos and all that.
Hey, kiss my boo-boos. Take off my pants.
But then you contrast that with the close-ups of him like,
I made a duty. Help me.
They contrast that with the scenes of him like brutalizing it and like or getting beat up.
That's like the best part of the movie. Yeah, like, just
those are shot in very much the same way.
Yeah,
it's like that same intimacy, but you're seeing something very brutal, and you're just like, wow. Like,
it also kind of shows you that the only time his life makes sense is when he's in the ring.
Yes, yeah. And like the only time he's really in control is at that point.
Because that's the only time it works in society to be that brutal is when you're in the ring. Anywhere else, they're going to put you in jail, you know.
I mean, just the background music you hear when he's fighting fits so well.
Mm-hmm. That slow-mo and then with the fog blowing. It's just like, Christ, it's so good.
Hey.
Yeah.
Never got me down, Ray. Mm.
I know, it's a hell of a scene. Ray, you never got me down.
Yeah.
You sing it through the mouth guard, yeah.
As he's standing there, so is that all you got? Hit me? Hit
Can't even see.
What about when he throws the fight and he's just miserable?
Cries.
I forget. I always forget the coach from Cheers is so good. Is like the.
I know. If you ever thought that he, you know, that's
my God,
the thing.
I didn't even.
Yeah, it's coach.
Before Woody, that's coach. Yeah.
Yeah, he's never gonna get a championship.
That's acting.
You didn't know that was coach.
Because he's nothing like Coach. That's the thing. It's kind of like when Woody did Natural Born Killers. You're like, okay, you thought that was him? That's acting. You know? You thought he's kind of a dopey guy? Well, that's acting, because look at this.
Let me ask Stacy. I almost said Stacy.
Your name's Stacy.
Stacy.
No.
Let me ask Sandy.
Sandra.
Sandy, what did you think? I mean, I don't know if this is your kind of movie. You're very much a comedy. I want to watch something light and forget my problems. What did you think?
What? Asshole, but you really believe it.
Yeah, so, it's
like Patrick was saying. I don't think I'll want to watch it again. But at the beginning, I was like, okay, it's black and white, and we're starting off in the ring. Like, where is this gonna go?
Yeah.
And then you really dive in, and you're like, okay, I totally believe this as a real person.
Yeah,
a real thing that's happening in his life.
I kind of wanted to see him die at the end. Not going to lie.
You're an animal, Larry. I'm going to eat your dog, Larry.
That was...
I laughed.
That was funny.
Who are you calling an animal?
Yeah. It's really heavy.
It is a heavy movie, and that's why I was like, I was kind of like...
You did the right thing. You put it between two comedies.
Yeah, it was the week. It was the week to do it because it's just.
You're not going
to
play this side by side with something heavy. Yeah,
it's a lot.
But I like when they're showing certain scenes from the boxing, like they're showing the mic drop down from the ceiling, and it's all like black, and it's just like.
Yeah, yeah.
Just that mic coming in, and like close-ups on the equipment.
Yeah.
Close up on the ropes. They panned over with the blood.
And oh yeah,
really, really beautiful shots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those are actual boxing announcers. The boxing announcer from the Olympic was Jimmy Lang, my grandpa used to watch boxing every weekend, and he was the announcer, the fight announcer. You'd have all these and so it was kind of, they used a lot of people from the boxing world at that time. So it makes it even feel more realistic.
Yeah, that's Scorsese.
What did you think, Jake?
It's such a heavy, heavy movie, but yeah, it's just, Robert De Niro did such an amazing job with him because you just hate his guts.
Yeah.
And it's, how do you describe it? It's like he knows what he's doing is wrong, and he just continues to do it. And then when something happens or there's no one else to blame, he always finds something else. It's like, it wasn't me.
Yeah.
Why is it my fault?
That's why Joe Pesci's
And he's just such an insecure human being that he just takes that all out on everything.
It's that's why you so feel crazy. For Joe Pesci, because he bears the brunt of a lot of it.
Such a great brother.
Yeah, he's such a good brother, and he's doing everything he can to get him his shot.
And after all that, he's like, hey, you fucked my wife? And you really feel for him, and he's like, fuck you, I'm not going to answer that.
Not only does he do that, he goes and beats him in front of his own family.
Yeah. Like,
he beats him in front of, you know.
It's his wife, too.
Yeah.
So you understand why he didn't forgive him, you know?
Yeah.
Nope.
He's like, walks
away. Yeah, I'll call you sometime.
And just, yeah.
What does he say?
He's like, everything.
He's like, I'm going to call my wife and kids so they could see you kiss me at the end when he you know, could tell he's holding that grudge. But
yep.
That's a bummer because that was his only, like, moral compass.
It's the only real supporter, too.
Yeah. His brother was the only one. I mean, his wife until he ruined it with her, you know?
She never had control.
She didn't, though, but that was the closest she had. She was the closest to keeping him kind of... in line, yeah.
Yeah.
Even though she really didn't.
Oh, I loved that scene was so great where he's like, hey, who, like, did you fuck my brother? He's like, what do you want me to say? I fucked everybody.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, he's too, like John was saying,
he's got a bigger dick than you.
He doesn't understand.
That was like, so
I know he's
funny.
Straight. He goes, what? You fucked him? Yeah.
He doesn't understand.
Yeah,
sarcasm.
I did. What? You did? It's like, wake up.
Well, just so insecure. That's just like, he just wanted to hear it. That's all he wanted. He wanted to hear that.
He's just possessed.
Just to give him a reason to.
Like when they're club, he just can't stop looking. You know, there's those friends from the neighborhood. Who is that? Why are you talking to him?
Yeah.
What'd you do? What'd you say? What'd you say to him? What'd you say to him? Huh? Yeah. Huh? Where were you? Where'd
you
go?
Why are you drinking with that guy? Can you kiss my wife on the mouth now? Huh? Then
you don't kiss your mom on the mouth? Well, no.
Crazy.
Yeah, you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to kiss your mom. John, what do you think?
Yeah, it's a work of art, you know. When all is said and done, I think this is the movie he's going to be remembered for. All the great movies Scorsese has made, this is probably the one. This is the masterpiece of all time. But it's not a good time, you know. I think the last time I saw this movie was like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It's beautifully made, beautifully acted. But it's you can go years without seeing it because it's such a, you know, it's such a trauma, really, to go through it. You know,
such a swift kick in the pants.
But so just, you know, everything connected with the movie is just top notch.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. There's not a weak performance.
There's not a weak link.
Yeah.
And some of the most beautiful photography you're ever going to see in the history of movies. You know.
Yeah.
And another great, you know, director holding out for black and white. He said it's got to be in black and white. This is not going to work in color.
No, in color it wouldn't have been as good. No,
so like those home movies, it really is great when they have those little. You get a little bit of color in the when you see the Super 8 home movies and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that really works. But and it's De Niro at the top of his game. You know, he's so good in The Godfather, and then you see this, and you just go, you know, this is the guy. This is the, you know, of his era. This is the guy. You know.
I love it, John.
Would you put it together with like Taxi Driver? I mean, just think of those three movies: Godfather, Taxi Driver, and Raging Bull. There was nobody better when he was at the top of his game. You know.
That's very true. It makes it watchable. You're watching somebody unlikable when De Niro makes it watchable somehow.
Exactly. Because it's a human being, you know. It's what's that, the Tennessee Williams line, you know. Mm-hmm. Nothing human disgusts me, you know. Yeah. It's just...
He just makes it feel so real that you're just taking a snapshot at it, or you're just kind of walking through someone's life.
And you do feel sorry for him, but he's his own worst enemy.
Yeah.
You know?
You really don't, though.
Sandy says you don't feel bad for
him. At the end, when he's in that prison cell smacking his head against the concrete wall, you feel a little bad for him. But he brought it all on himself, you know. Yeah.
Justine's thinking of whether or not she feels bad for him.
No, she doesn't.
What?
Wow. All right, guys, let's rank it.
And you got to say, for Joe Pesci, that's like his first movie.
He did a great job.
He was an unknown, and he's going toe-to-toe with De Niro.
Yeah, and
so
it gave
him a career. Yeah. You know?
I don't think the movie wouldn't be the same without him, too.
No.
And I think Kathy Moriarty was an unknown, and that's what Scorsese wanted for a movie like that. He says, I don't want a bunch of recognizable faces. It's better if they're all sort of like unknowns. And I think it was Joe Pesci that recommended Kathy Moriarty.
Oh, okay.
He had known her from some acting gig or something, and he said, this is somebody you should look into.
Yeah, Pesci's great in it.
So...
And
think about that. You know, nobody had ever seen him before. This is really the first time anybody sees him. He just burns up the screen.
Yeah.
If there's another guy burning up the screen in that movie, it's Joe Pesci.
Yeah, and plays it very well.
So it's going to be fascinating to see all of them in that the new Scorsese, which is, I guess, about Hoffa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Patrick.
Visually, it's a 10. Emotionally, it destroyed me, so I'm going to give it a 9.
Nine, okay.
I get it.
Justine?
I give it a 5. I won't watch it ever again.
But was it bad?
That's not how she rates things,
no,
if they're good or bad. She rates it on how many times she's going to watch it.
So what's worse for you, John? Raging Bull 5, Airplane 3, or Casablanca 6?
It's all valid. I can't say I've ever been... You know what I mean?
John's too nice.
It is what it is. It's just like the only one that caught me by surprise was Casablanca, because I think it was like the third week or something.
Now you're used to it.
That's true. But now you're used to it. Now.
And so that was the one where I was like, what? What?
What? One of the greatest movies of all time is
especially with comedies, you got to cut people slack because you either laughed or you didn't. And if you didn't laugh, then what are you going
to
do?
You're used to the pain now.
Especially when we were watching the Monty Python films.
Welcome to my life, John. Welcome. This is a snap. Shot into my world.
Welcome to my life. It's called Mad Love with Peter Lorre. We gonna watch that?
You see the darkness.
That's a hell.
Hey, that's the one I'm gonna pick. There you go. Boy, is that gonna screw people up?
I don't
up?
See myself ever recommending this to anyone.
I'm a good friend.
You want to be depressed?
Yeah, watch I won't recommend well, this to
it's,
anyone.
It's kind of like Taxi Driver. If some people say, "Hey, is it good? Should I watch it?" You go, "Well."
Yeah. Or it's like recommending Lawrence of Arabia. It's a beautiful movie. You won't regret watching it, but would you watch it again? Probably not.
There was a kid at work asking about Taxi Driver. He said, "I've never seen it. Everyone always says how good it is." I go, "Well, brace yourself. It's a good movie, but brace yourself. It's not a feel-good movie, no, you know?
It's dark. You're going to see
it's
some
super dark. So
people ask you if you like Lawrence of Arabia and you go, "Yeah, but it's pretty."
I always feel like you should warn people. Maybe it's not the right approach, but if I'm going to recommend something like Lawrence of Arabia or Barry Lyndon, you want to say, now, it's like 4 hours with an intermission, so give it some time. Let it breathe.
So pretend like you're watching two movies.
Let it breathe. Maybe, you know, watch
it. Let it breathe.
Watch it in two parts.
Let it breathe.
Sandy?
Seven.
Sandy. That's good. I mean, for a movie that's hard to sit through. You know, it's hard. It's hard. Jake?
I give it an eight.
Give it an eight.
Yeah, it's such a great character study, but not something I would watch again.
John?
Give it a 9. You're not going to find a better made movie, no matter how hard you look. But I guess, yeah, it's not the sort of like The Godfather I've seen 100 times, and I guess that's why it gets a 10.
Yeah, yeah.
So I give this one a 9.
I'm gonna agree with you. I'm going to give it a 9 as well.
Yeah.
Again, I think what everybody's saying is valid, especially, you know, what Justine and Sandy are saying about Justine being unlikable.
It's also a slugger, too. For me, I was like, I'm already don't like this guy. Why do I have to sit in this scene for that long?
And it's hard to watch those, the domestic abuse.
Yeah.
It's pretty rough.
And if you don't like something like that, like you don't like this type of movie,
I'd be like, I'm done.
You're not going to enjoy it.
Yeah. And if you already, if it's already for you to like, hearing about that kind of stuff, watching it.
Yeah. I don't want to see him yelling about getting his coffee already. I'm like, come on. I just wanted to smack him. I was so mad.
And yet, likes the Joker and Harley Quinn relationship. It makes no sense.
Oh, and Harley Quinn.
It's the same thing.
And then when he even tells his, Joe Pesci talks to his wife, and I'm like, are you kidding me? He's like, who told you to butt in this conversation?
You know what Scorsese would say?
Protective over his brother. Okay, give him a break.
So annoying.
What you're getting is a look into somebody's. This is like these are. There are people really like this.
And it made me so mad.
This is a window into somebody else's life, and so you're either going to pull your punches or not pull your punches.
Yeah, get out of here. Come on.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Well, give me.
So for next week, what we're going to do is one.
I love it. So for next week, it's going to be War and Peace. It's an 8-hour movie.
Well, 2 weeks from now. We're going to start our Halloween haunt.
Ten Commandments.
I don't know what we're calling it. We're calling it our Halloween.
Hijinks.
Halloween.
Spooky.
Justine Weenie's
Halloween.
Justine's Halloweeny, which doesn't make any sense.
No, that
does
not.
She doesn't pick the movies.
It's not,
Thank God, because we would have never seen Raging Bull.
Not in a million years.
Or Airplane.
Or Casablanca.
Listen, if you're going to go to the moon and you could only take Spice World or Raging Bull, what would you take?
Oh my God, Spice World.
I'd take Raging Bull.
I would also take Raging Bull. I would never watch it more than once, but I'd still take it with me.
Roger Moore is in Spice World. That's probably the only time I will accept him in a movie.
Justine, Roger Moore is my favorite Bond, and I refuse to watch that movie.
It's the only time I accept him.
Spice World.
What would be great is if you met him. You know, like there's a line of people meeting
him. I loved
him.
You in Spice World.
I know. And when you find him, it's like, he's all, come again. I loved you in Spice World. Did I do Spice World? Oh, yeah. Thanks.
He just blocked it from his memory.
It's like one day in my life. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
But everybody ahead of you will be like, oh, man with the golden gun. Oh, wow. Moonraker was great.
Oh, my God. You were the best
in
Spice World.
Oh, my God. Can you send me Spice World
movie? Can you send my Spice World DVD?
You got people thank with you. Like the Saint box set. It's like, Spice World, did I? Well, yes, I did make that movie.
Coming up next week. No, 2 weeks from now, we're going to start our Halloween especial.
Ooh,
so make
like
sure
it.
We're going to watch The Thing from 1981. We're going to watch American Werewolf in London. It's slight programming change. We're going to jump over to American Werewolf in London. We're actually going to do 2 consecutive weeks of horror movies. So for that first week, it'll be American Werewolf in London, The Thing, and Halloween 2, the sequel. The sequel. All right.
So scary.
I don't think I liked Halloween 1.
You didn't like Halloween 1?
I don't think so. I think I gave it a pretty low rating.
Look at it. Please check it out.
For those of you that are Donald Pleasance fans, you get plenty of Dr. Loomis.
Yeah, okay. Next Digital Movie Club, please leave your negativity at the door.
Yeah. No, this is an area to express ourselves. Good opinions and bad opinions.
Express yourself.
As well as bad puns from someone in particular in the room.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Express yourself.
You get to make all your dumb puns. I get to express myself.
You know, it is kind of funny that we watch in this one movie club. It was Airplane and Raging Bull.
Yeah.
It's almost like you get the bends from going from extreme.
But you know what? That's what the 80s, much like the top 40.
Decompression.
Like the top 40 radio in the 80s, the movies in the 80s are all over the place.
Yeah.
And
so we'll see.
Well, the top 40 in the 80s was just peppered with one-hit wonders.
Well, not only that, you could have something like Hall & Oates next to Michael Jackson next to, you know,
Adam
Herbie Hancock next to. So, you know, the 80s were crazy.
You could say eclectic even.
Yeah, thanks, John. I will. All right, guys.
You know what? I will.
For Sandy, for Patrick, for Justine, for Jake, for... Did I mention Sandy?
Yes.
All right. For myself, we will say this transmission ends now. And please fight the power.